Bonjour.
Welcome to this new edition of So French, the show about the twists and turns, intrigues and insights to all things French.
Every 2 weeks we select the best, most interesting and fascinating of French news stories, all brought to you from our studio in the heart of Paris. My name is Stéphane de Vries.
And my name is Sarah Bertelson.
And this week we take a closer look at the leadership battle in the French conservative party Les Républicains. Who will lead the party and will it be in opposition or compliance with President Macron?
We'll also talk about the feud between the Paris City Hall and the Fairground King, all leading to the Champs-Élysées Christmas market no longer happening, well, at least not this year.
And of course, Maud Descamps brings us a fresh French word of the day.
Now, so after years of electoral successes on regional, local, national, European level, she was very, very close to become the new French president. But Marine Le Pen, the leader of the French far-right Front National or National Front Party, she lost out to Emmanuel Macron. That was in June, and then she disappeared.
Yeah. Où est Marine?
Where is Marine?
Yeah.
Where is she?
She's very quiet, actually. She changed jobs because first she worked in the European Parliament as a member of the European Parliament. And now she's a member of the French Parliament. And since she became a member of the French Parliament, it's much quieter around her. When she was in Brussels and in Strasbourg, every week she was in the French media. But now it's I don't know, where is she?
No, but there, yes, well, she did show up. We saw after months, actually, a TV interview with her just some weeks ago. It was the first time, I think, after the presidential election that she actually gave a full interview. She looked a bit different, I must say. I don't know.
What a bit older?
A little bit older. Yeah. Like this actually had a, took a...
A real impact. Yeah, absolutely. And her mother said this summer that she was pretty depressed by the bad results of the presidential election and also the general election, of course, in June.
But the thing is that the party is going through a crisis, a complete crisis. I mean, after all these years of, you know, successes, and they've been building their base, and they've been, I mean, moving further and further up in the political system, it seems like everything just came down in one flat.
Yeah, it's like a souffle.
That didn't. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and there are also the scandals, of course, because she's being investigated for fraud in the European Parliament. This week, the Bureau of the Parliament also cancelled her parliamentary immunity because she posted
Very gruesome pictures
of Daesh on her Twitter account. She can be prosecuted for this as well.
Nothing's going her way then.
No, it's all bad news for her. And of course, in general, I mean, in the beginning of this year, everybody in Europe thought, well, there will be a new populist wave. In the Netherlands, the populists will win. In Germany, in France, Marine Le Pen, maybe even the next French president. So Europe is going to, well, does no longer exist anymore at the end of this year. That was only in January. And now, 8 months later, 9 months later, Europe is back. Even her own voters, they agree that France should not leave the Euro.
The Frexit plan was no good plan.
No, that was not a good plan. So she's also looking for a new rhetoric, because now she realizes that an anti-European program doesn't really work anymore.
So do you think that she could be the leader of this new National Front Party? I mean, there is clearly different factions in the party. You have the far, you know, the extreme right that has been personalized, you can say, by her niece, Marion Maréchal Le Pen, who left the party to go to work in the private sector.
Yes.
Oh, she left the politics, I must say, to work in the private sector. And then you had Philippot, the very close aide to Marine Le Pen, who was sort of trying to make the party a little bit, at least look cleaner and have a program that was more focalized on economy and the Frexit, especially.
Yeah, he was really in favor of leaving the Euro.
Than the immigration, and, you know, get away a little bit from the immigration pictures. So what do you think? Do you think that she can lead the party in the future as well? Or Is her time over?
I don't think her time is over, but she really has a trouble in transforming the party into a right-wing party, a nationalist party, because she realized that the French, they want to stay in Europe. And one of her main issues during the election campaign was to leave the European Union, to leave the Euro, and that's no longer working. And then, of course, there's a problem that on the right in France, the Les Républicains, the other right-wing party, is becoming far right. We will talk about that later, because maybe the next leader, well, if you listen to him, that's something the Front National, the way Front National talked a couple of years ago. So
there's a competition on the far right.
Absolutely. And well, she's clearly not happy in her role in the National Parliament, because, well, she's just one of 577. Her party is very small. There are about 15 members of parliament, I think, of the Front National. So it's really insignificant. So we should ask the question, is there a future for the Front National?
And then there's the big blank.
Yeah, there's the big blank. Maybe that's the answer. Of course there is, because, well, we should not forget that she still got about 20%
in the first round of the
absolutely.
Presidential
election. Absolutely, so that's a lot of potential voters. It was the best score ever in the Front National's history. So if she succeeds in transforming the party, then it will still be a very important factor in French politics. But for now, it rather looks, well, sad for Marine Le Pen.
Now, we touched on it briefly a little bit earlier, but another party in shambles, we must say, is the after the 2016-2017 presidential election campaign, is the Conservative Party here in France. It's Les Républicains.
Yeah.
We all remember the catastrophe, I don't know what to say, the train crash of François Fillon, who was set to become the next president of France, who got, you know, tied up in this huge scandal and eventually didn't go through to the second round of presidential election. So now the Les Républicains is looking for a new leader, the leader who will lead the party, the president who will lead the party to the next presidential election. So who are the candidates?
Yeah, well, there are three candidates. So there's Laurent Wauquiez. He's a former minister under Nicolas Sarkozy. He's also very young. 42 years old only. In French politics, that's very young, although he's still 3 years older than the French president. He is the leader of the big region of the Rhône-Alpes around Lyon, and he's very controversial because he's not managing that region very well. He is the favorite. So then there are two other candidates. There's Maël de Calanne. He's more the center-right. He's close to Alain Juppé. And then there is Florence Portelli. She's the former spokesperson of François Fillon, the presidential candidate. The only woman. She's only 39. So that's a big difference compared to the past. All the candidates are pretty young, around 40 years old.
Well, so we can say that these three candidates, they're actually symbolizing the three different factions that are splitting the party at this moment. You have the far right faction that is represented by Wauquiez. You have the conservative traditionalists faction that is then represented by Portelli. And then you have this centrist, more progressive, you could say, faction that is represented by de Calanne.
Whomever they will choose, it will decide the fate of the party, because it will transform the party into one of those streams, one of those flavors. But right now, it looks like Laurent Wauquiez is a favorite.
Yeah, he's a clear favorite.
He's a clear favorite. And he sees himself as the anti-Emmanuel Macron. He calls Macron an arrogant, capricious little president who lacks vision and hates provincial France.
There talk about how Wauquiez, who then we just said is quite, he's only 42 years old and he's still been in politics for quite some time. And there's actually talk about how he, when he was younger, to look older, started to dye his hair gray so that he will look more, you know, get more respect. Also the fact that he actually went back and started he took classes to start talking his local accent or dialect.
Really?
Again.
I didn't know that.
To be considered as a more down-to-earth and credible candidate. So this was, you know, some years ago before he got his own gray hair.
So, yeah, he's been working on his image already for a long time. But, you know, what he wants is really, let's give some examples. He's really anti-immigration, and that made him popular also within the Les Républicains. But it made him also some enemies, because a lot of the Républicains, they also see immigration as a chance. They're very pro-free market, so that's liberal in an economical sense. So he's not really that. He's critical in Europe. He's a sovereignist, so he thinks that the problems should be solved on the national level. And at the same time, he has been a minister for European affairs under Sarkozy. And during that time, he did really nothing to reform Europe.
It looks like he has been toning down a little bit his Euroscepticism lately, because, as we talked about also, the National Front also made the discovery that people are actually quite pro-Europe in France.
Absolutely.
So it's not maybe the best card to play if you want to get as many voters as possible. So, I mean, even though he has been talking about his Euroscepticism, he's trying, I think, to tone it down a little bit now to, you know, to be as broad as
absolutely.
possible.
Yeah, the party, of course, is struggling with its role in the French parliament, because it's basically very inaudible what they're doing. There are also a couple of ministers coming from that party who joined Macron's government. First of all, of course, his prime minister, Edouard Philippe, but also three ministers, Bruno Le Maire, for instance, the minister of the economy.
Heavyweight ministers, I must say.
Yeah, absolutely. So these candidates also, well, they created a division within the party. And last week, Les Républicains expelled those members. So they're no longer a member of Les Républicains. And that means that Édouard Philippe, he has no party anymore. He's partyless because he didn't join Macron's party. But it shows that Les Républicains is really struggling for its future. And if you compare that, for instance, to La France Insoumise, the other opposition party on the far left, they only have 17 MPs, but they are very vocal. You can hear them everywhere, compared to the over 100 MPs of Les Républicains. So it's a very important election. Will be held in 1 month. There are about 240,000 members of the party. They can vote online. But not a lot of people are really interested. And the organization, so the direction of the party, said that they will be happy when there are 50,000 people voting. So that really shows that this party has an existential problem. We'll know the answer next month. Who will be the new leader of the Républicains?
Vous écoutez So French.
You are listening to So French.
So now, anyone who's ever tried to learn French will know that it's not an easy language, that the grammar is very, very complicated. And actually, French grammar made it all the way to the French Parliament this week, but not because it's complicated, but the question being asked if is the French language itself is sexist.
Yeah, it's the Weinstein effect on French language. in French grammar, the masculine form prevails over the feminine form due to an old belief that the masculine is nobler. So, for instance, if you talk about a group of people and there are 1,000 women but only one man, you will still use the masculine form because there's one man. So the one man is more important than 1,000 women. It's a very old debate. It got some new fuel this week, and Maud Descamps tells us all about it in her word of the week. Maud Descamps, bonjour.
Hi, Stephen. Hi, Sarah. Yes, the French word of the day is actually an expression. It is the gender inclusive writing. There is quite a debate at the moment in France on this topic. The idea is to integrate the a female dimension in our language. Because if in English this issue actually doesn't really exist, a writer, a doctor, a teacher could be either male or female. In the French language, there is a gender for each word. So the debate started a few weeks ago with the publication of a school book that already included the inclusive writing. But the idea is quite new. It is actually the feminist writer, female writer, Benoît Gould, who in the 90s started to militate for feminization of our language. But the debate is not only a French matter. In Quebec, in Canada, and also in Belgium, the idea of using inclusive writing is quite accepted. But here in France, the debate is still going on. But it is not about the feminization of the language, but about how complicated our writing would be if we had to add an E, which is the mark of the female gender, at the end of each word. So there is quite a battle going on between philosophers, teachers, writers, and politics about either we should or shouldn't use the inclusive writing. The French Minister of Education, Jean-Michel Blanquer, has made clear that he doesn't support the idea of inclusive writing, but the debate is still going on.
Thank you, Maud, for this word of the week. Now, there are scandals, and we on So French, we do love and like scandals. So this scandal of the week is actually a scandal that evolved into another scandal. Last episode, we talked about the Harvey Weinstein scandal and its effect in France, and the fact that the Islamic scholar Tariq Ramadan has been accused of sexual assault, more precisely, two rapes. And now this scandal evolved into a new one, and that is a feud between the satirical newspaper or paper Charlie Hebdo and the head of a website for investigative journalism here in France, which is called Mediapart.
Yes, and his name is Edwy Plenel, the editor-in-chief. It started with a cover of Charlie Hebdo. They depicted Ramadan in last week in its edition in an explicit pose with the caption, "I'm the sixth pillar of Islam." So making fun about his sexuality, basically. The five pillars of Islam are the five basic practices obligatory for believers. That's faith, prayer, charity, fasting, and of course the pilgrimage to Mecca. So now there's a sixth pillar.
This was clearly satirical.
Satirical, but it's Charlie Hebdo. But of course it's Charlie Hebdo, the magazine that suffered a deadly jihadist attack in January 2015 after publishing cartoons of the Prophet Muhammad. Charlie Hebdo, of course, is still under very heavy protection. Received a lot of death threats after this cover again. So it means that Charlie Hebdo is still not safe.
So how did this then, Edwy Plenel, what is his role in this scandal?
Well, he said that by depicting Ramadan this way, they were declaring war against Muslims. And of course, using the word war is very sensitive when it comes to Charlie Hebdo. Yeah, and Charlie Hebdo said, well, if you're using the word war against us, that means that you basically are giving us the death penalty. And they accused Plenel of being a collaborator of jihadists, etc. So it became a very complicated scandal.
Now, the fact is that Edwy Plenel and Tariq Ramadan actually did have some kind of relationship, in the sense that they have been holding conferences together and all of that. And Edwy Plenel, his website Mediapart did say that they did not know anything about these accusations against Ramadan. So in one sense, they didn't defend him, but they also said that we didn't know anything.
And now it has turned into this very hard fight.
It's sort of a personal vendetta.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. Because, there's a fight going on in France for a long time already between journalists and commentators. There are people who think that Islamism is the new fascism. And there are also people who say, well, anti-Islamism or being against Islamists, that's the new fascism. So it's a very typical French fight. It's very intellectual.
I was just about to say, it's a very French debate and going into the details and making everything so complicated.
Absolutely. And I think the editor-in-chief of Charlie Hebdo, Ries, and Edwin Plenel, maybe they should get a room in a very nice Parisian hotel and just spend the night together and see what happens.
Out.
So this is the fight between Charlie Hebdo and Mediapart. Now we're a month ahead of Christmas, and usually in Paris...
You're feeling the Christmas spirit?
Not really. The sun is shining. No, not really. But maybe that has to do with the fact that the Champs-Élysées this year will be empty, because usually there is a Christmas market. There are many Christmas markets in Paris, but also in the rest of France. I think the biggest of in the world is the one in Strasbourg.
Probably, yes. It's very, very famous, at least.
Yeah, and the east of the country, there are a lot of Christmas markets. But they're also in Paris, on the Champs-Élysées, usually. But not this year. 15 million visitors each year allegedly visited the market. But the city decided to cancel it this year. Why?
Well, this is part of a feud going on between Paris City Hall and the king of... the fairy ground. His name is Marcel Campion. He's a famous, very famous personality, we must say, a character here in France. He is the head of several fairground attractions, especially around the Paris area. And the fact is that he is the one who's been organizing this market on the Champs-Élysées. And this year, well, basically, the Paris City Hall is saying that this Christmas market is not living up to the expectations. Most things are actually produced in China. They're very expensive. The quality is not what it should be. And, you know, they want to make something more of better quality and more representative, as they say, of France.
Yeah, and they said it was also aesthetically not very pleasing, this market, on what they call, what the Parisians always call, the most beautiful avenue in the world. So no Christmas market
but
this
Campion,
year.
But he doesn't give up that.
No, he doesn't give up. He blocked the city last week because he has a lot of sympathizers. So they try to block
and
the city.
And they have big trucks because
big
remember,
trucks, yeah.
You know, they bring all their stuff around. So, I mean, they have big trucks, mini trucks, and they manage to create more or less chaos.
Absolutely. And the police last week heard about the plans of Campion to block the city. So they found a lot of those trucks basically hiding in the forest in Bois-de-Vincennes in Paris. It sounds like a novel, but it's true. So they blocked those. But others were able to block high rays. And Campion also went to court. And this week, the judge decided that the city hall, they are right. And that Campion can no longer organize this Christmas market. So it will be very empty on the Champs-Élysées, but in other places of the city, there will be Christmas markets.
We will be able to get our vin chaud and...
Unless we are blocked on the highways by Campion. But this is the local fight between Paris and the king of the fairground, and it looks like the city of Paris now gets a free ride. Okay, Sarah, now I've got a question for you. Who's the best politician this country has ever known in its history?
Well, you know, I'm going to answer by the words of a former French model, but her name is Carla Bruni Sarkozy, not to forget. She has said that the best press, or the best politician ever that France has ever seen is... surprise, Nicolas Sarkozy, her husband, former French president.
That's so sweet.
Well, Carla Bruni, we have seen a lot of her lately. She's out on a tour promoting her new album, which is called French Touch. And she's talking a lot about her husband in the interviews that she's giving. And she's sort of, she's posting pictures on Instagram with him and their daughter. And she's talking quite frankly about their relationship also in different interviews. And also she says that in another life, maybe Nicolas Sarkozy would have been a prophet.
Of course.
Psychoanalyst, priest, or, well, you know, any job that, you know, would imply that you have to talk to people and listen to people.
talk show host, for instance. he could start a podcast. Oh, it's all very sweet, isn't it?
Absolutely. Vive l'amour.
Now, Sarah, on this new album, there's something horrible done by Carla Bruni, which especially affects you as a Swedish person.
Let's just take a listen.
The winner takes it all, the loser standing small. Beside the victory.
Now, that was Carla Bruni on her album French Touch, doing a cover of ABBA, a national Swedish treasure.
How ABBA's dare she?
I don't know. Well, especially, I mean, I must say that version is probably the most horrible version I have ever heard. And there have been quite a few karaoke songs being done with that one. So, I don't know. Carla Bruni, for me, and for, I think, for the part of the Swedish population, choose another song next time.
I think it's horrible too, but I think at least Nicolas Sarkozy will say that she's the best singer the world has ever known.
Now, someone else releasing an album this week is...
Yeah, MC Solar. I've always liked him, a French rapper. He hasn't made an album since 10 years, so it's a real event. His new album is called Géopoétique, Geopoetics.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, very nice. And he's also, he's very creative with language. And I think he's one of the reasons why I actually started liking French, because he started in the 80s and 90s already. And he's a gentleman rapper, actually. Very, very...
Not the gangster rapper.
Not the gangster rapper at all. He's almost 50 years, so that may explain the difference. But it's interesting to see that all these young rappers now, they have a tough image. And he's like always this Mr. Nice Guy. And well, he has a new album and he will go on tour next year. MC Solar, Géopoétique. Let's have a listen.
Je sais que pour la chasse en Sologne, faut pas mettre d'autres couleurs. J'ai vu la cordillère des Andes, le Honduras, en lisant Neruda, Hemingway, Simon Honduras.
And that wraps up this edition of So French. We hope you have enjoyed it. Please follow us on Twitter at So French News. And if you have any questions or suggestions, send us an email. Our address is sofrench@sofrench.news.
And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast in iTunes, SoundCloud, or in the TuneIn radio application. And please share our podcast with your friends. If you like French music, such as MC Solar, check out our playlist on Spotify, which we update regularly. We will be back in 2 weeks with a new episode of So French, online and on air, on World Radio Paris.
We hope you'll join us then. Thanks for listening. Au revoir.